Buenos dias from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach Spain update from the 9th of July, 2026. Quick summary of what's going down in Spain. First off, this week on Wednesday, the 8th, President Donald Trump ordered the U.S. to halt all trade with Spain, describing the country as a terrible NATO partner. Yeah. Speaking alongside Mark Rutte, NATO Secretary General, in Turkey, Trump accused the country of failing to meet NATO's new defense spending target of 5% of GDP, criticized the central government for not allowing the U.S. to use its airspace and military bases for Trump's invasion of Iran. Addressing Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, Trump instructed him to stop trade with the European country immediately, saying he wanted no business with it. The U.S. exported over $26 billion worth of goods last year, generating a trade surplus of over $5 billion U.S. dollars. In response, central Spanish government downplayed Trump's remarks. A spokesperson for the government stated that the country continued to enjoy strong social, cultural, and economic ties with the United States. Border news. An update on Gibraltar. After years of stalemate due to the UK being unable to deal with the consequences of Brexit, after nearly 300 years of border control, on the 15th of July, Spain will start removing checkpoints at the Gibraltar land frontier ahead of a new UK-EU agreement. The provisional deal eliminates routine land border checks, allowing around 15,000 daily cross-border workers to travel freely between the two places. Instead, immigration controls will move to Gibraltar's airport and port, where both Gibraltar and Spanish officials will carry out checks, with Spain having the final authority on entry into the Schengen area. Gibraltar has accepted concessions, pretty significant concessions, including greater Spanish oversight of future residency permits, closer alignment of tobacco prices with Spain, introduction of VAT-style sales tax. Meanwhile, strengthening security around its airport and custom zone with new fencing, surveillance technology, and police controls. Chief Minister Fabian Picardo described the agreement as truly historic while stressing that Gibraltar's British identity and sovereignty remain unchanged. Background on Gibraltar's economy, read Butler to the World by Oliver Bullough. On to European parliamentary policies now. On Wednesday the 8th, the EU approved giving 120 million euros from the European Solidarity Fund to help Spain recover from devastating 2025 wildfires, which caused an estimated 4.3 billion euros in damage and claimed 8 lives. Money will support clearing burned areas, restoring infrastructure, telecommunications, transport, education, water systems, and cultural heritage, and providing temporary housing and emergency assistance. While the country often has wildfires, especially in the dry heat, 2025 was particularly bad, causing prolonged drought and extreme heat, accounting for 38% of all land affected by wildfires across the EU in 2025. Tech World, on Wednesday the 8th, the country launched an international coalition to strengthen children's rights and safety in the age of artificial intelligence, or so they called it, bringing together more than 20 countries and major international organizations across Spain, France, Kenya, and the European Union. Pilot was first announced at the UN Global Dialogue on AI Governance in Geneva. Aims to ensure AI systems protect children's safety, healthy development, and fundamental rights. Organizations such as UNICEF, UNESCO, and the International Telecommunications Union are also involved. Members pledge to work with governments, technology companies, civil society, and educators to develop child-centered AI governance and greater involvement of children in shaping AI policies that affect them. On Monday the 6th, the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer opened its new global command center in Madrid to strengthen and modernize its worldwide supply chain for innovative medicines. State-of-the-art facility will monitor shipments across nearly 180 countries in real-time, tracking factors such as temperature, location, delivery times, geopolitical risk, and logistics performance. The Madrid Center will work alongside a second operations hub in Chennai in India to provide continuous global oversight and rapid incident management across all time zones. And to the capital. Last week, Madrid's regional parliament approved Isabel Díaz Ayuso's law on the unborn child, which treats an embryo as a family member for administrative purposes, allowing expectant families to access benefits before birth. These include larger family status, tax deductions, transport discounts, school meal grants, and housing assistance. Most benefits require proof of pregnancy, while financial aid and large family status apply after 14 weeks gestation. If a pregnancy does not continue, families must notify the regional government but are not required to repay benefits already received. Partido Popular presents the law as practical support for families, a measure to encourage higher birth rates, and a defense of life. Critics argue that recognizing the unborn as rights-bearing family members carries symbolic legal significance, potentially shifting attention away from pregnant women's rights and laying the groundwork for future challenges to abortion rights. Far-right party Vox supported the measure but criticized it for not granting embryos full legal personality. On to the church. Late last week, Spain's Catholic Church announced that the Catholic Church has currently 349 active causes for canonization involving more than 3,000 people who could one day be recognized as saints. Canonization is the Catholic Church's official process for declaring someone a saint. It requires evidence that the person lived a life of exceptional virtue, and in most cases, that two miracles have been attributed to them after their death. Figures were presented at the Spanish Episcopal Conference following a three-year project to compile records from dioceses across Spain and the Vatican. Most of the candidates are being considered for lives of heroic virtue, while more than 50 are recognized as martyrs, many of whom died during the religious persecution before and during the Spanish Civil War. The announcement highlights the influence of the Catholic Church on the country, where religious traditions continue to shape many local festivals, public holidays, and cultural customs that residents encounter throughout the year. Moving on to trade, on Monday the 7th, it was revealed by Euronews that Morocco's olive oil exports to Spain have risen dramatically over the last few months, with imports rising from around 100 tons between January and April 2025 to over 10,000 tons during the same period in 2026. Despite sharp growth, Moroccan olive oil still accounts for only a small share of the Spanish market, representing around 7.5% of Spain's imports, while domestic production remains far higher at an estimated 1.3 million tons. Increase, however, has been driven by Morocco's strong harvest following improved weather, lower prices, favorable EU trade arrangements. Meanwhile, Spanish olive oil exports to Morocco have fallen by more than 75%, reversing the previous trade balance. Although Morocco has become a more significant supplier, Tunisia remains Spain's largest non-EU source of olive oil, and there is no evidence that Moroccan imports are replacing Spain's domestic production anytime soon. Next, on Wednesday the 8th, Carrefour Spain launched a mobile Carrefour Express supermarket to bring groceries and everyday essentials to rural communities across Galicia, where there are no local shops. The company will operate the service from Sardena in northwestern Galicia, sending the mobile supermarket dozens of villages every weekday. Customers pay the same prices as they would in a regular Carrefour Express store, while Carrefour covers all travel costs to guarantee equal access to essential goods. Carrefour says the initiative supports its commitment to improved accessibility and serving remote communities. World Cup update on Monday the 6th. Two Iberian Peninsula countries went head-to-head, and Spain reached the 2026 World Cup quarterfinals with a dramatic 1-0 victory over Portugal thanks to a stoppage time winner from Mikel Merino. Portugal captain Cristiano Ronaldo, who confirmed this would be his final World Cup, couldn't inspire his side and left the pitch in tears after the defeat, while Roberto Martinez, Portuguese head coach, resigned, saying that failing to win the World Cup made it the right time to step aside. Spain will now face the Belgian national football team in the quarterfinals on Friday the 10th. New York Times writer Laia Cervello Herrero examines why some football fans in Catalonia, particularly supporters of FC Barcelona, don't support Spain's national team, despite many of its players coming from Catalonia. She argues that centuries of political and cultural tension continue to shape how some Catalans view the national team. Through interviews with fans, academics, and podcasts, host Manel Vidal, Herrero shows that some supporters see Spain's football success as reinforcing a national identity that doesn't reflect their own. As a result, some chose to support other teams, including the Argentinian national football team. For anyone living or visiting Catalonia, the article offers useful context for understanding why football often sparks controversy about identity, language, and politics, not just sport. Herrero also points out that many Catalans proudly support Spain, but for others, football support remains closely tied to Catalan identity. Full article in the show notes. And finally, Spain is reportedly moving to reduce its reliance on U.S. data company Palantir. According to reports on social media, the government has told state-backed companies not to sign new contracts for sensitive projects involving national security or critical infrastructure. The move follows a similar decision in France, reflects a wider European push to keep sensitive government data under European control rather than relying on creepy U.S. tech companies. Palantir software helps governments analyze large amounts of data for tasks such as intelligence, policing, and fraud detection, or so they say, but it has faced criticism over privacy and surveillance concerns, not to mention the politics of Peter Thiel. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Anything to ask or tell us, email us at info@rorschach.com. Hasta la próxima.